That's why.
All right. What's going on, everybody? This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker coming at you with the 9th episode of the Google News Update. Man, we laughing because we're streaming this, and we were just cutting it up, talking crazy about some stuff before we started the show officially. Man, I got to tune into the stream. But yeah, we're here. It's the 9th episode, man. Just before we jump into everything, man, I want to give send my condolences again to the Bryant family. If people don't know, we're recording this and streaming it on the day that Kobe Bryant was reportedly was taken away from us from a helicopter crash. Him and his daughter, along with three other people that he was associated with. So that's it's disheartening. It's painful, and a lot of people are already doing videos on it and stuff like that, man. But again, we send our sincere condolences, man, and the legacy of Mamba will live on.
I saw a little something earlier. I had to check it out. I saw a little topic earlier that was talking about how Rick Fox was on there. If y'all remember Rick Fox, he was an actor at one point, but I think mostly he was known as being a basketball player.
Yeah.
He used to actually play for the Lakers and the Celtics, actually.
Yeah, he played for the Lakers, too.
Huh? They were talking about how there was rumors going around saying that he was also on that helicopter crash. He was not on that helicopter crash. So, that's just relief for anybody that was listening. Apparently, he was married to Vanessa Williams. Now, that was my girl.
You don't remember that? He was married to Vanessa for a little bit, man.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Some people faces. I remember faces, names, be kind of things, man. I don't know people's names. But glad to know he's still alive.
Yeah,
you got to very sad for Kobe and those associated.
Yeah, man. I was definitely looking forward to seeing how he developed as a person and just a personality as well, you know, after his basketball career was over. But, you know, he lived his life to the fullest, man, you know, so.
Yeah.
But
Black Mamba.
Getting to these topics, man, y'all know what we do. We just bring honest, criticism to those who on the fugaziness and the IT those ones who are up, you know, doing excellent things, we give them rounds of applause and we give them big up them. So, but the topics we're gonna be covering today says that Google backtracks on search results design, which I'm a little bit taken back on because I actually I mess with that a lot. I don't know why they changed it. Well, I know why they changed it in the article, but you know, I don't feel like they should have changed it, but we'll jump into that. Secondly, says this topic we're going to go over says Google is going to charge cops for your data, which depending on where your morality sits, you even look at this as a bad thing or a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm just not feeling that at all. I already knew that, you know, if they wanted to subpoena your information, they could subpoena it. Yeah, I mean, but they straight out just gave we're gonna talk about it, I guess, but they gave out like a charge sheet saying this is the price for thanks.
This is it.
Like you want this new data? Here's the price. I mean, it's stipulations, but it's the price.
Yeah. So I mean, that's something. And then lastly, I guess a little bit in lighter news, which is pretty good, says Activision, Blizzard, and Google enter into a multi-year strategic relationship.
Nice.
So, I mean, I'm a gamer at heart. So, you know, when I hear stuff like that, I just like to hear, you know, gaming companies make strides, man. Because I feel like personally, man, video games make the world a better place. I don't know where people get on off this track saying that, you know, shooters make people more violent. So that, no, it doesn't. When I'm playing Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff like that, that keeps me from going out and attacking and doing aggressive things. But, you know, we'll jump into that lastly, man. But let's get into this, man. It says Google backtracks on search results design. So we actually did an article. We did a topic on this last week, I believe, where we're talking about how Google had made some changes where on the search engine, if people could, it's changed back now. But before they had it where when people did a search on something, you could see they designated through the design or through the favicons or the lack of favicons. What was an ad, you know, when someone searched for something, and they had gone through a process of changing and redesigning that layout, that process where when people search for stuff, it looked just, everything looked like quote unquote an ad. So in the way that that worked, and as far as me personally, I feel like that was a good thing. Business-wise, I'm a businessman, so I look at it like, how can this benefit? But what happens is people don't like to be sold to, but they like to buy, right? So the reason why Google, you know, the ads in the past were probably met with a lot of scrutiny, yeah, is that, you know, again, people just don't like to, you know, when people feel like you're forcing them down their throat, you know, then they're not going to, it doesn't feel good if they eat it on their own, right? So they did. They went through this process of changing it, and they had everything looking. I think I just actually like the design too, you know. But everything looked like an ad per se, or everything just looked the same. It was a lot of continuity in how they showed the results. And in the article, it says that they got a couple of complaints saying that, in particular, it was one guy. They have his info here. His Twitter name. His name is Craig Mod. It says that there's something strange about the recent design change to Google search results. This is before they actually changed it back, because they had to redesign it. But it says here that there's something strange about the recent design change to Google search results, favicons, and extra header text. They all look like ads, which is perhaps the point. Question mark at the end. And I think that that's, again, I don't know where people sit with this as far as let me backtrack. I know where people sit with this. I know, so when I seen this at first, man, automatically thought from a business perspective why this is a good thing. It gives you the opportunity to, based on whatever it is you're advertising, that people can honestly they'll be able to click on the data. It's not like, you know, Google's not going to advertise, you know. Like we were talking about before we started the show, Mike, if it was something for like X and XX, right? And you click on that, you know, there's no telling what type of black hole you'll end up in. You know, you'll end up with your computer being hacked and some other stuff.
As to be like, you won't last 5 minutes after watching this.
Yeah.
Nah.
Need more
animation. See a video of the Family Guys going at it. Nah.
It's crazy.
Those ads be kind of fishy.
Right. And, you know, they don't show anything like that. You know, Google basically, you know, when they have regulations in place that when people are advertising, that it has to be, it can't, you know, be anything like pornographic or anything like that. So, you know, I'm looking at this now when they go back, and it's from an end user standpoint, them catering to what the people like is good for sustainability. I just think that there could have been a better way for them to resolve this issue that occurred, where people felt a little bit different about the new layout that they presented. But how do you feel about that, Mike?
I feel like it was too many different points of views, and probably the negative points of views probably took over. When you look at Craig Mod's example, if y'all read the article, y'all can click on the link in the description. I'll show you the article. If you see Craig Mod's explanation, he's just showing the links that have the search results, essentially. And it does kind of look like adverts. They kind of look like advertisements. And ideally, I mean, you could say that they were doing this for the company's benefits, because it is kind of an advertisement, but they're advertising all the company that had the best search result. And that's technically not a paid advertisement. That's just an advertisement. That's just a search result. And, you know, I figured they were potentially trying to, you know, I'm trying to make it seem, you know, play devil's advocate, say that they were doing this for a good reason. Like, they were trying to show off the fave icon, because the fave icon is, in most cases, the company's brand. So it's going to show off, where did you get this news?
Man, how you say that word? Favicon.
Because it's the favorite. It's the favorites icon that when you do a bookmark, that's the icon that gets saved in your favorites. So they call it favicon, fave icon. That's how I say it, because I'm Baltimore. I'd be like, nah. we ain't trying to call this no Frenchy favicon. This is a fave icon. I mean, but like, I mean, cool. Technically it's one word. I mean, so favicon is ideally what it's supposed to be. It ain't coming out of my mouth. But Yeah, I mean, but like, I mean, that's their intent was essentially the potential. My thought of their intent was to potentially promote the company that had the data. I mean, if that was the search result that you got, you would at least see that icon and you'd be like, oh, that's a trusted source. I mean, that's a place that I always go to. So I can remember that because, you know, we tend to remember pictures quicker or more readily than we remember text or anything like that. So, you know, seeing an icon would give me a quicker idea of whether this is some reliable source that I usually trust than if I was to see the domain name, if I was able to see the .com or whatever. But like, also this could be turned around because included with adding these fave icons, they did lessen what the ads themselves look like. Because when you do see what the ads actually look like, compared to what they used to look like, they used to have some colored background. It used to be some green text in there. It used to have like a gold icon, favorite icon or whatever. It wouldn't be a favorite icon, but it would say it'd be a gold icon that would say ad right in that place. Yeah. And it didn't, none of that even exists anymore. It literally does look like another search result when you show the actual ad portion of it. And that part right there, that's the confusion part, because at that point, it doesn't look like something's being advertised to you, because what we all have become accustomed to do is you do a search result, immediately scroll down three spots because I ain't looking at this ad. Yeah, I mean, and as soon as they took out that little background, the green, yellow, bluish background, however it was, there's a Twitter post showing like the timeline of all the different ways that they designed the fave icons, the ad placements, but they all kind of looked the same. It was always a thing that you'd be able to say, oh no, that's an ad, I'm going past that. And with this new design, along with the fave icons, they changed the way that the ads themselves looked, and it just sort of flowed all in one. And it's like, are you trying to set me up? It looks like you're trying to set somebody up when you do a search for stuff. And at that point, yeah, I could see people. But
like, why I gotta be a setup? Like, I get the buy, you know, the BUI biology, right? That people like to buy. They want to be in an atmosphere where they are encouraged to buy based on what they like. But you know, it's not like when you click on something, it will take you to. It can just be an advertising to someone's doing an ad to like go to their blog or something like that. It doesn't always have to be about. I mean, well. I think if you're going to be advertising,
because like you said, because they contextual ads. I mean, it's not like it's a random ad for a random reason. It's an ad based on you doing a proper search result. I mean, that ad came in based on your search result. So even if you accidentally clicked on the ad, it's kind of irrelevant ad nonetheless. It might not be exactly what you're looking for, but it's kind of relevant. Yeah, but I mean, people, like I said, the negatives came up louder than the positives. And I mean, they should have trumped it, for real. I think they should have trumped it. They should have doubled down. I mean, Trump never backs up. He doubles down. He'll say stupid shit, and he will double down on that stupid shit. Google should have doubled down.
So, but I remember, and I guess it applies to business as well, but the late, great Patrice O'Neill talks about when he was, I don't know, everybody should know Patrice, man. Shout out to God, man.
He is YouTube.
He's the red pill prophet, man. That's a talk for another show, another day, you know what I mean? But yeah, but he talks about in his comedic, like, you know, when he would, in his timeline, when he would be doing stand up, how, like, when he bombed, like, the worst thing you can do is to try to play to the crowd. Because when you do that, they'll just stomp on your neck more. And I'm kind of paraphrasing all of what he said, but he said that when the way that you do it or get out of that is that when you bomb, you like take everybody with you, like you blow the whole place up. Like, if that's the kid, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, you won't not try to get rid of this heckle over here, whatever. But you know what I mean? So at the way, I guess what I'm trying to connect here is that what I see that what Google did is that someone may have brought it up as if that, you know, this is like a bomb. And rather than just, you know, like you're saying, just doubling down, like whatever, we're going to make it look even more pretty or something like that. Or, you know, just dismissing what, you know, the hecklers may have been saying. Yeah. Like they played into that. And now it's you know, it doesn't really, like they didn't win. I don't feel like they won from – bat tracking. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's kind of like, oh, they're going to, you know, people thrive on consistency, you know? So,
backtracking makes it seem like you made a mistake. And the last thing that they should do is make it publicly visible that they made a mistake. Yeah. I mean, like they should have ran with it and then slowly just changed it to something else. But to make the abrupt change to add it in and then make the abrupt change to pull it back out. Like they should have just stuck with it and been like, y'all got to get used to this. I mean, they said in the article that they had did this already for mobile and they had it running on mobile for like a year. So it's not like they didn't do a test on this. I mean, it works on for them in mobile. So they tried to bring it to the desktop and people just complained about the advertisement portion on the desktop. They should have leaned in and should have said, yo, we're going to keep going with it. We hear your complaints, but y'all don't pay us. The companies do. The our investors do. Yeah. Like our investors pay us, and they the ones that's happy. I don't know about y'all. Y'all just gonna have to eat this. What y'all gonna do? You go to Bing.
That's what I was gonna say.
What y'all gonna do? Y'all gonna bang it?
That's what I was saying. Like, come on, man. Like, what other search engine people gonna go to, man? Yeah, like, man, you know what I mean? Everybody that downloaded Mozilla and they had Yahoo as their default browser, they changed some settings to Google, man. Like, they're not going
right.
to. So I don't know why they backed down like, oh, we're not going to, it doesn't really. Like, come on, man. Somebody should have made a different call. They should have had one of us up there. Like, all right, whatever. What they going to do? They're going to Bing search something, deal with clicking in the wrong ad and possibly ending up on the dark web or some crazy
I got them doing this again, and I got them like slowly leaning back into what they already wanted to do. Like even with this, like they really didn't change up much. Like they reverted back, but they only reverted back slightly. Like the only thing that they really did was take off the fave icons. But I mean, if I do a search and I see so they took off the fave icons. That's about it. But there's an ad placement at the top. It still doesn't have that gray or green background that it used to have, the yellowish green background that it's had. It just lines up with another search, and it all is in white, and you can't really tell the difference. So ideally, what they shouldn't have did was make this leap, which is what they shouldn't be ever doing. They should just make those small incremental changes, and more than likely, they're going to come back and do this again. When everybody stop complaining about it, they probably bring it back in and make it look a little bit less noticeable, which is what they always do, which is what Facebook does. Like one of the most addictive things about Facebook that they do that nobody ever notices is that they always change their app every couple months. And the reason that they do that, they don't do that because they make trying to make anything better. They do that to keep you having it's like a learning tweak. When you see something that's different, it requires you to want to take it in and try to analyze it. And then you start wanting to remember it. It keeps it fresh in your mind that they always change something new. Like the placement for the faith for your personal profile may be in a different place from the Facebook watch icon or whatever. And they just do those little tweaks just to mess with your head so that you always have something that feels like it's new. So it never seems like it's repetitive. And that's what they basically are trying to do here. They're doing like this whole A/B testing thing, going back and forth, seeing which one works. And they should make small increments. They made too large. I mean, it's already Google. You know, the Google homepage ain't changed in like 20 years. So how you gonna make this crazy major leap and just be like, all right, we're gonna put all this animations and we're gonna put all these graphics in it? Ain't nobody ever seen graphics like that in a Google search. So having all those icons there did just sort of bring, it raised some flags. They just got to be more incremental about it. They got to be slower about it. You can't just make an abrupt change because it's what, a couple billion people that's making a search a day. You can't just do that to everybody like that. Right. Like one change in Google is a billion people in effect get affected by that. So you got to be slow about those changes.
That makes me think, like, I wonder how many people are actively using Bing on a day-to-day basis. But don't worry about it, man.
You ask Microsoft a billion people. Okay. You ask Microsoft, yeah, like a billion people are using it. They use it every day, every hour.
Okay, yes. Sonny.
Yeah, right.
but yeah, man, let's jump into this next topic, bro. Says here, Google is going to start charging the cops for your data. So I mean, now I want to do, before we even jump into like all of what's going on, like the list they have down here says that a segment of the article says Google's notice of reimbursement documented sent to law enforcement officials listed the following prices for different data requests. Subpoenas are $45. An order is $150. Search warrant is $245. A PRTT order is $60, which is a pen register or a trap and trace. And then a wiretap is $60. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, now my thing is, again, depending on where you land on the side of the, you know, which side of the coin you land on, some people say it's a good thing or some people say it's a bad thing. Like, because all it takes is, I guess getting into my, tread lightly here. Like, just because someone has a search warrant for something doesn't necessarily mean that they have good intent, meaning the cops here. You know, one of the things right. that we are constantly faced with, or we've even seen it in movies, is this idea that, like, you know, people who, the authorities kind of abusing that power, you know, to do whatever it is they want, you know, going into certain places and planting drugs and stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying it's like that all the time, but, you know.
Oh, it'd be like that sometimes.
Though. Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes. So, you know, when I see something like this, you know, one, you know, Google being, you know, the titan company that it is in the world and having access to all of these people's data and stuff like that, I mean, I can see why they would, and it will put this in place because, you know, you don't want, although it may on paper be for a righteous cause, people still want to maintain their privacy. And yeah. just because, you know, some lowly cop could go into somewhere and have, you know, malice, you know, malicious intent. And if they wasn't being charged or somebody, or there was no, like, process in place for them to, you know, run it through, having to get, you know, pay to get access to this data, they can just request something and go search for stuff that, you know, they able to act freely. And then although it may be immoral, it'll be legal. So it can be that. I mean, you have that side, but then too, where you have the side where, you know, that they do have, you know, probable cause for, like, you know, this person may be doing something wrong, or, you know, it can be something concerning drugs or something like that, and they need to have, like, you know, a search warrant or something like that for them to still, you know, act within the confines of the law, you know, but be it, they have to probably go through this thing of paying bread for getting all this stuff done. Now it adds, you know, an extra layer of security to the wrongdoer. So I don't really know how to feel about this, Mike. How you feel about this?
This is a consequence of Jesse Smollett, yo. This is a consequence of the Jesse Smollett thing, man. I mean, he got his court. Well, they still trying to do an investigation on him because the judge threw his case out. They threw his case out, but they still are trying to do an investigation on him. And part of that investigation required them. Matter of fact, you know, the article that we did last week, it required them to try to acquire some of Jesse and his manager's data from Google. I mean, they're trying to get his emails. They want to get access to his Google Drive. They probably want to get access to his whole Chrome for 365 days. Yeah, yeah. They want to get all his data for 365 days. And that's a lot of data, man. That's a lot of webs and researches. He could have been like, yo, what's this bump on my face? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that you can get from that. And I mean,
so why did they call me Smollett?
Yeah. Like, why did, who is Jesse Smollett? It'd be funny as hell. You look up who is Juicy, Smollett in Jesse Smollett's search results. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're going to find there. Like, they're trying to look for this evidence that he potentially did this thing. And they're collecting all his data from Google of all places. Like, if he had an Android phone, that's all the stuff that anytime he had his GPS on, like, it's Google Maps, all that stuff. He could have went down to, maybe he did go down to that subway. Who knows? I mean, he might've really went down to that subway 2 o'clock in the morning, and it could potentially be in there. But the thing that really gets me is just the fact that, that Google put a dollar amount on this, that they were just like, yo, you know what? all right, we're going to give it to you, but we're going to charge you for it. And this is how much it's going to charge. And it's going to be under these stipulations. You know what I mean, so, mm-hmm. I mean, it has to be regulated. It has to be some type of official thing. Like they said, the has to be a search warrant. It has to be a subpoena. It has to be order. It has to be some type of wiretap order or something. It has to be something that was authorized by an official judge of, you know, federal judge, national judge, whatever you call it. But if it is authorized by them, then, you know, we got these price points. So, I mean, it kind of hurts me because of the fact that you're just saying, like, this is how much your data is worth on average. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, like, that's right. Because yeah, you got to think, like, where did they come up with the figure?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they came up with, they estimated that number based on hard evidence. You know what I mean, it's Google. They calculated the hell out of getting that number. And, like, I mean, what gets me is like, if it's one of those things similar with just data privacy in general. It's like if you got that argument where it's like, if you're not doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to worry about. But at the same time, it's a matter of if you happen to be on Kate on trial for potentially doing something wrong that you didn't do. Like if in this scenario, it kind of gives that implication of guilty until proven innocent when we always try to, you know, push out the idea of innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
I mean, and like being able to give up somebody's data, you don't know what they may be looking for. So, you know, it's Googled. So they just going to give you all this data. They're going to give you gigabytes worth of data and you may only need like one file out of there. So they got a whole backup of your whole life for the past year, but you know, they only really needed to know where were you at on this day at this time. And like, I mean, in that Justice Smollett case, you know, they backtracked. They were talking about wanting to go 365, get that whole year, but they only really needed they because they want to know if he was doing any setup beforehand.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that's what
did he contact anybody? I mean, like
conspirators.
But like, if say you, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm tripping, but like, you know, what if it's one of those fugitive scenarios, like 1994 Harrison Ford type shit, fucking Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't kill my wife. I mean, but nobody believes you, but, you know, it's like they intrude on your privacy and your data so that they can try to figure out whether it's true or not. Maybe nothing is in there, but maybe you find out some other stuff. You got to trust the legal system in that scenario anyway. So, like, if you are like $100 million guy, if you're $1 billion guy, you happen to be using Google services and like, Maybe the FBI or legal, like state law enforcement, they may not be trustworthy all the time. I mean, so like they might just be trying to get you for this one case, but if they can't get through this case, they still got a year worth of information that they can blackmail you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like even if we don't get you through this case, I don't like you, bro. And I know you got a lot of money and I know you be looking up bestiality. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, looking up some crazy stuff.
Looking at child porn.
Yeah. I mean, like, I know that. I mean, I ain't going to even say child porn because if you look up child porn, that's another case that we're going to retry you, bro. So you may get off on this one, but you got child porn up in here. So we're going to just bring you back.
We got something bigger.
Yeah. We don't need this case. We got this one, bro. We ain't even worried about your fake attack by the KKK, bro. It's Jussie Smollett happens to be doing this. I mean, so in that scenario, all right, but like that's not necessarily, and that again, that's kind of an invasion of privacy. Like you got to kind of catch them, kind of the rules of regulation, the laws of you know, of the house of the U.S. is sort of like you got to kind of catch them in the act. So like, if they pulled his data or they pulled somebody's data and they found out that they had some other type of case, some type of other thing that they did that was majorly illegal, but it had nothing to do with this case, technically their lawyers could get them off because they ain't got nothing to do with this case. And they would have to go back and do investigative work to figure out, all right, is he also doing this? You know what I mean? But like, nonetheless, that's an invasion of privacy. And if he was doing something else or if anybody else is doing something else, if they can't try him on that case, like I said earlier, the law enforcement just might, somebody might just be like, you know what, I'm just going to, I'm going to blackmail because he got a couple million. I just need 100,000. I need a boat. I mean, I need to go to Vegas and I got this information on, dude.
Yeah, me, I'm up there. Shoot, yeah. We ski mask way, man. Like, oh, he this way he frequent. You going to get that? But
yeah, I mean, some of this. I mean, just because of the fact that they put a number on it make me kind of want to pull my data out of there. But I don't think I will all the way. I'm gonna just probably have a secondary backup clone in case I one day just gotta be like, you know what, fuck all of Google, I'm out. Yeah. But like, I mean, right now, I work with Google almost every day. So.
Like once in we learned this back, and we can move on to the next article after this, man. But, it said that, you know, when we first started this IT journey, that once you put something on the internet, man, it can't be deleted. It's there. Yeah. You know? So it's kind of like, you know, once you play you play with that devil, you know, playing with Google.
Yeah,
they got you. I mean, you know, of course, and they can show deleted records, but you know, mm-hmm. Is it really deleted? Like, you know, that's what you got to think about. But
yeah, like even with Facebook, they say like at minimum you got to do 2 weeks. Like if you say you want your profile to be taken out of Facebook, they still put in a 2 week limit just so that they can get all of it out because it's cloned in so many places throughout the world based on what conversation you had with what person at what location. I mean, that data is cloned around everywhere and it's going to take a while to get it out in the first place. And yeah, even then it's not foolproof. Like you online, your data's there. You are there. It's hard to get you out. Thing you got to do is just not ever get online. And I mean, disinformation is better than doing anything else. I'm not going for the people that know about security and whatnot. You really can't get out of these systems. The best thing that you can do is give them disinformation, but I'm not going to go into that whole topic because that's starting to help people out that, you know, but disinformation is key.
Yeah, man. Last article. Man.
I read a lot about like, I've been studying, I studied the whole, like, you know, data collection, hacker espionage thing for years. So, I mean, it's disinformation is that thing. That's the only way.
Moving on to this, man, I guess in lighter news says Activision, Blizzard, and Google enter into a multi-year strategic relationship. So I like what Google is doing here. Everyone knows that, not everyone, well, if you're following the show, you know that Google has launched cloud-based game platform, Google Stadia. Well, it's alpha right now. Is it alpha or beta?
Yeah, it's in its beta right now. I think it don't really release until March. But if it was like one of these things they call the Founders Edition or something, if you paid into it, you can get a controller and get your account early.
Yeah, you're early adopter, right?
Yeah,
but so what they're doing, I feel like with this is that they are setting themselves up partnering with Activision and Blizzard. Is Activision and Blizzard? Am I lost? Activision and Blizzard are two different companies or the same?
They merged. They merged back in like, I want to say 2012, 2013. They merged up.
I think Blizzard, when I think Blizzard, I think World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I think Activision, I think Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So, I all these games I've played, I've never noticed. That's crazy. But Activision, so that's still good either way. That Google has this multi-year strategic relationship with this titan company, like this big company, like Activision, Blizzard. Like I said, world, anybody, if you're part of the gaming multiverse, let's say that, then you know, the World of Warcraft is like it's a thing, right? It's not just a game, it's a culture. Same thing with Activision, what they produce, like with the Call of Duty series. And I know with Call of Duty, they bounce back and forth between that and Infinity War, but as far as Activision goes, they have that series with, so these are really big companies. So for Google to enter into a relationship with them, a 3-year relationship with them, then that's good. Cause what else is it going to be for? I know you have they said in the article, right, one of the bullet points, the three bullet points I read, and it says YouTube will be the exclusive streaming partner of the Overwatch League, Call of Duty League, and Hearthstone esports and more. So it's Google Cloud. Will be the preferred provider for Activision Blizzard game hosting. So, mm-hmm. When you're dealing with like all of the games that they'll be like hosting, you know, like within the clouds for that, it'll be through Google. Of course, Google, you know, they got Google Stadia there. And then it says this, the deal replaces the now expired exclusive streaming deal Activision Blizzard has with Overwatch Twitch in regards to its Overwatch League. And this is all talking about esports stuff. I mean, esports is a big thing. It's emerging with a lot of the with the onset of, like, I think it got its way in when streaming gaming became like an average thing, like it was a part of like the regular thing. So esports then came on the league as like came on the scene as like an actual thing in itself. So, but yeah, overall, man, I feel like
after that dude won $1 million, I think it was some kid won $1 million. I want to say like maybe 18, 19, won $1 million off of playing Overwatch or something. It might have been Overwatch.
These things are not there's money to be made in gaming. And again, it can be tricky, but then it can be a gold mine to really tap into it at the same time, via that you're dealing with people. Most of the people who play video games are kids.
I mean, it's an entertainment medium. That's what it really is. It's the fact that it's an entertainment medium, and that's going forward with the new generation coming in, including us, because we sort of grew up in that era. You know, we were 2D gaming mostly for the most part, with like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and, you know, introduction to the 3D games and whatnot. That's where we grew up. I mean, like, they used to have like competitions on the arcade games, you know, people playing like who can get the highest score on like Donkey Kong or some shit. They got a whole movie about that. I mean, but it was very indie back then. And I mean, even today, it is breaching that wall of indie. I mean, like, it's indie still. It's still kind of like this underground thing that only a few people tend to do, but that few people still is kind of a $1 trillion industry of its own, so it can't be too much of anything, right? But like, it's still one of those things that's not broadly adopted. It's adopted here and there and in pieces. And you know, one of the things that I like with this mostly is this is really a win for Google, nonetheless, because Activision Blizzard, they're going to be making their money anyway. And they kind of could have went to anybody. You know what I mean? So, like, Amazon is the number one cloud provider right now. And number two is actually Microsoft. So to go to Google Cloud is really a win for Google, because they got to try to get their contracts up with these larger companies so that they can maintain cloud software. And along with that, you know, being able to, they're going to be hosting Activision servers over at Google Cloud. You know, they're also going to be streaming with YouTube, which is a whole separate business model for them. Like, so this is like a multi-layered partnership with multiple different services, because they could have just did a partnership for streaming and had their service hosted somewhere else, but they're jumping into multiple revenues of income with each other, essentially. And especially for the YouTube division, because YouTube is kind of changing up as well, because, you know, they have the commercial YouTube, but then they also have like YouTube television now.
YouTube TV.
So like the idea of game streaming, or like, you know, game competition potentially becoming a channel, or becoming something that people, you know, tune into at live events, where, you know, right now most of it is like, you know, game streaming on Facebook, on YouTube or something, but it may be like a few thousand people or whatever. But to have it where it's like a major event, similar to like a Super Bowl Sunday or any NFL Sunday, where people are tuning in every Sunday at this time to watch this thing, YouTube and Google are just uniquely positioned to help Activision like distribute that out to the community. Yeah, on a massive scale, on an international scale. Like, there's not many like Comcast contracts that'll help them get out on an international scale. Like, Comcast is for the most part an American company, and they have limitations in America. But like, Google is internationally known, and
Google Earth, Google Mars.
I mean, they say the only place that they're not really going to be pushing this initiative is in China, because, you know, Google doesn't have deals in China.
Right. And, for obvious reasons.
I mean, half of it is Google doesn't want it, the other half is because China don't want Google. But like, I mean, that's just what it is. But for the rest of us, like, I don't play too many Activision Blizzard games. I don't really know. I mean, Call of Duty is out there. I don't play it. I like to watch it. It looks cool. But just to know the industry is moving forward, because if this is happening with them, it's only going to just keep progressing. Yeah, it's only going to keep progressing, and until it becomes a standard thing where it's not like a big new deal. It's just like this is what it is now. And I love to see that go forward. I love to see the progression of tech, particularly, like I said, I'm a big proponent of seeing what the world will look like with this VR reality and this whole next generation. The next 10 years is going to be a game changer for gaming in general, particularly with the younger generation becoming the older generation and then the older generation essentially phasing out. I'm not going to say nothing crazy, but they phasing out like... Yeah, retiring essentially. Like it's gonna become a thing, or more of a common thing, a commonplace, and man, people are growing up with this.
I think if Google can, what will end it all is if Google was able to find a strategic partnership with Nintendo. They can pull that off.
Yeah. I mean, the hard thing about it is like Nintendo's one of those companies. Like I was just thinking the other day, like. Either Disney going by them or Apple going by them. It's one of those companies that only really fits well in that type of world. Like out of all the companies that they have in all these different industries, like Apple, Disney and Nintendo sort of sit in their own realm, because you know they definitely are proprietary. They're definitely like in-house. Only they don't really partner with too many people, and they got like a catalog of stuff that they have in house that keeps them on a class of their own for real. Like Nintendo doesn't really compete in the whole other gaming market. They just do their own thing. I mean, they keep doing their own thing and they will ride with them for it. Like people are dedicated Nintendo fans.
It's something to see where this goes, man. I just know, I mean, it's nothing really else to talk about this article. I mean, they just go into like, you know, release dates and stuff like that and what the league's all about, man. But all in all, I think this is, it's going to show that Google is making good strides business-wise on what they're doing for the gaming industry. And then look into like, it's like with a lot of companies I see now, tech companies doing now, they're starting to go horizontal rather than building depth with a lot of their companies. So, that's pretty much it, man. I mean, Mike, did you have anything else you want to add, bro?
No, man. I mean, y'all know where to do, man. Y'all got to follow us on the resources. Got us on Spotify, got us on iTunes, got us on Google Music. You know, we on here. I'm actually going to plan on some things with the social media and how to get the social networks working a little bit differently for you guys. But yeah, that's basically it, man. Follow us, like, subscribe, comment. A lot of comments. Get something to talk about.
Always, man. I like interacting with some of the people that comment on the stuff, man. And it's like, because some people, you know, I got the alerts coming straight to my phone. So I'm like, I like to talk back and forth with you guys, man, and just, you know, play around in the comments. Y'all. I mean, I know y'all ask crazy questions about IT and stuff like that, man. Yeah, so just leave your comments, man. Just be interactive, man. Just let us know that we're doing a good job. And, you know, be honest, something that we can improve on, let us know about that too. So, but yeah,
like, comment, if you don't like us, tell us you don't like us. If you hate us, man, y'all can, I ain't gonna say what y'all can do, but if y'all hate us, you can hate us. If you like us, go ahead and show that love. If you hate us, show us the hate. I want to see the hate. I want to see how real it is.
that's it, man. That's all I got, man. This is Mike Bennett, Mike Baker, Google News Update. Signing out.
Peace. All about.